requirements of God's law. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery. You must not murder. You must not steal. You must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirements of God's law. This is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here, so remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. Because we belong to the day, we must live deceit lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness, or in sexual
promiscuity
in immoral living, or in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. Romans 13, 8 through 14.
There. And that story ends with Jesus saying, who is your neighbor? And the Pharisee that asks the question is, says, my neighbor is, he says, the guy who helped him. That's right. And that just like the Samaritan. But really, that whole story, like, everybody is the neighbor. The neighbor is those that passed by, those that neglected him, the ones that beat him up, and like the innkeeper himself, the one that took care of him. But like the thing is that the reason that that the Samaritans stands out is because he's the only one that acted like a true neighbor. And this, so the phrase, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, is a direct quote. It's not from Jesus' teaching. Jesus is quoting Leviticus 19, 9-8. Go back one?
I will go back one.
Perfect. All right, ignore that you saw that. Okay.
Yeah.
So Leviticus 19, 9-18. So it ends with love your neighbor, but to get there, it talks about so reaping your fields not to like the entire extent, so that way you can share your abundance. Don't steal or falsely or lie. Don't oppress your workers. Don't oppress on your neighbors. Don't curse a deaf person or trip a blind person. That's kind of funny. It's an obvious thing you should not do. Obviously, because if I was a farmer, I wouldn't know not to like reap my entire field. Actually, stealing that actually makes sense. Don't trip a blind person. It's not nice. judge rightly and fairly. Don't hate your fellow countrymen. You may rebuke them, but do not sin in doing so. Do not take vengeance nor hold grudges. And it ends with saying that to do all of this is to love your neighbor as yourself. And that's really where Paul is talking about. And from what we've talked about in Romans so far, this is kind of like all of what Paul's talking about in Romans. Like, Paul is expounding on that... that we are not perfect, love God, love others, and humble yourself. And if we just look at just the previous chapter, Romans 12, Dan's on over there, perfect. So,
sorry, I can do this.
Dan, you had one job.
Perfect.
So, Romans 12. So the first couple of verses, verses 1 and 2, talk about live as a living sacrifice, that we're not supposed to get conformed to this world, but renew our mind on Christ. We're supposed to humble ourselves in thinking through judgment, celebrate each other's giftings, not be jealous of what other people can do, and hate what's bad, love what is good, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and bless those who persecute you. Like, all summed up as what Mo said a couple weeks ago, don't be a jerk. And that is, like, that's just one chapter from Romans. Going back, and we can see that leading all the way up to now, it's all about loving your neighbor and loving God. And, what's the next thing? What's the next slide? Yes, and so loving our neighbor means that we're living in light, which is, so put on the armor of light. And, putting on the armor of light, loving our neighbor, involves fruits of the Spirit came up, and then the armor of God came up. And so the fruits of the Spirit, which is, should be the next slide. So the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And I guess such things, there's no law. So all those things is how we can live in light and how we can love our neighbor. And all those things, that's all those sum up what Leviticus was talking about. And the armor of God. The armor of God, belted with truth, the waist. Belted your waist with truth. Breastplate of righteousness. I don't have all those numbers. Next one. Strapped boots of gospel of peace. The shield of faith and. And the helmet of salvation. So all of that is the armor of light. It is through the truth, can we go back to the previous slide? The truth of God, the truth that we get from Scripture, righteousness that God gives us through faith, the gospel of peace that we are out to proclaim to the rest of the world, and next slide. Oh, perfect. There's 6 seconds. The shield of faith. And then the helmet of salvation, which is like how we live out our light to the world. So those two things combined is what I believe is the armor of light that we're meant to live. It is through producing the fruits of the Spirit and carrying the armor of God that we can truly love our neighbors and that we can truly live in the light. And as I was going through this passage, I was trying to think of a guy, and a couple people came up, and Superman stood out amongst all the rest. So I have a quote from David when I was asking him about who he thinks this encapsulates. And he said, "Ask a Superman fan for a moment who they think encapsulates the character of Superman. And I promise none of them will tell you about him fighting some impossible threat, because those are great things that he does, but it's not what makes him special. They will tell you about a moment of Superman showing love to someone, because that's the character people care about." Like, yes, Superman can go save the world, can go destroy meteors, and, like, fight Doomsday, fight Darkseid, and all that fun stuff. But in the end, like, this is the Superman that fans love. This is from Chris's favorite Superman story. Yep. I read it yesterday, actually. I think for the second time. I've read it before, yeah. And it's about Superman saving this girl. So it starts out, Superman's doing, like, all Superman stuff, like, fighting monsters and whatnot. And he gets a call from Batman. Batman's like, "Hey, we need to talk." And so Superman shows up, and says, "Hey, there was this family. They got broken into. Like, everyone died except for, like, two girls. You go to this one girl who got shot. She's in the hospital." So this girl's telling him the story of how, like, everything just was crazy. It was loud, just loud noises. But that little girl's name's Alice. Alice was not afraid. She was brave because she had hope in Superman. And Superman leaves, like, wanting to save this girl, but not sure if he should. He's faced with the dilemma of, should I stay on Earth and continue to save these people, because who knows what could happen. Darkseid could come the next day, apocalypse could happen, or should I go save Alice? And, like, the first, I think, issue zero, issue zero of the series, is Superman facing the dilemma of, do I go save this girl? In the end, he chooses to. He goes through the entire universe, does the impossible to save this one girl. And, like, those are the stories that Superman fans love. It's him going and getting coffee with the released villains and the rehabilitated villains and seeing if they're adjusting to life okay. It's him getting Cat's outage freeze. It's him just doing, like, all this, what we would think is, like, mundane stuff for Superman. Like, Superman doesn't need to be doing this, but that is Superman's character, and that is Superman. Like, he is Superman. He is, though, like, an extreme example, because, like, we don't have Superman in our world. Like, he is, like, also meant to be written as Jesus-esque. He is a Messiah-type figure. But there is a person that we do have had in our world, and that is Martin Luther King Jr. So this man, if you don't know who Martin Luther King Jr. is, then I'm a little concerned. This man, he was born into a world where people hated you on the color of your skin. You could not do certain things, you cannot go certain places. And yet, in all that hate, he decided to fight for people's rights to be human. And despite all the odds, he did so. He wrote a book called, I believe it's a book, it could be a collection of sermons, but it's a book, and it's called Strength to Love. And a quote from the book is, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." It didn't matter if someone threw a brick in his house and tried to bomb him, was sending death threats. Like, he got daily death threats, like sacks of mail. He always chose to act in love. And, like, a cool, like, side thing, like, his wife would drive their car around in the morning before he got up just to make sure that it wasn't bombed. Like, his wife was super cool. But yeah, like, no matter what, he chose to act in love. He did what he preached. And so that's, like, our more, like, down-to-earth example. So, like, this is how loving your neighbor, it's hard, but it is doable. It takes time, and it takes a lot of the fruits of the Spirit. It takes a lot of love. It takes a lot of joy. It just takes a ton of patience. It just takes so much work. But it's worth it. In the end, it's worth it. In the end, we are able to show people who God is. It's like when Noah talked about that loving your enemy is like putting a coal on their head. It's not so much to where, like, we're inflicting pain upon them, but we're helping them realize that what they're doing is wrong and that love is the answer through loving them. But then there's, like, the opposite of this. So the opposite of this is living in drunkenness, sexual promiscuity, debauchery, strife, and jealousy. So we're not supposed to do that, but that does happen, and that involves the anti-fruit of the Spirit, or the fruit of the flesh, fruit of the flesh, which I think is the next slide. Yeah, so fruit of the flesh, or deeds of the flesh, which, like, we see every single day. Like, there's sexual immorality, impurity, indecency, witchcraft. I don't see that every day. I hear about it. It's crazy. Hostility, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, self-ambition. All of this is from, derives from when we ask the question, like, what can I get out of this world? What can I do? Totally fucked this cool quote. But yeah, oh, I'll get back to that. Yeah, so like, we don't have to look far for this. Like, we know that this is what happens when we choose to not love our neighbors, when we choose to only love ourselves, that this is the result of that. And out of doing this, we get the world that we're in. It's so lovely and beautiful. Like, you can just look outside and see a bunch of garbage. So this reminded me of my sermon I did a couple, I did months ago. We were back in Isaiah. It was Isaiah 58, which it should be the next slide, is what was in Isaiah 58. Like, we see in the world that there's oppressed workers, that there's fighting and quarreling about trivial topics, imprisoning innocent people, being complacent with the oppression of others, homelessness, spreading rumors. And then I added these ones, human trafficking, the porn and sex industry, drugs and alcohol, and gambling. Like, this is all a result of the deeds of the flesh. When we choose not to live in constant love and live in the light of the world, live as the light of the world, this is what happens. This is what we need to face, and this is what we need to go against. And like, the list does go on and on. Like, I was trying to think of like who is someone that shows this, but like, I did not need to give you guys an example when, like, we do Mayhem, we hear stories, we hear about the lives that we live and the darkness that we fall into. And and what is a result of trying to live for selfish gain and not in love? And then that just brings us to like the whole point, which is like, love even when it's difficult. Live out the fruit of the Spirit and the armor of God. Live out the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation that God gives us every day. That's all I have for Romans 13. It's short, sweet, to the point. Yeah.
Thank you, Brad. I got one question, and then I have an announcement. How's that work? Okay with that? Can I have somebody to run? Yeah. Thank you, Brad. Just hand her a microphone there, Brad. One person too. Yeah, come on up, Eden. And hand Eden the microphone. Just hold that down. Yeah, there you go. Bring that over here. I'm not sure it's completely on, right?
Oh.
And over here, Eden.
Yeah, they're both on.
Okay, are they? Yeah. You checked them? Sounds like it's on. Very good. Okay. The question is, what is a time you've loved someone, one who was difficult? I'll tell about a time. Okay. Sandra has it. She's loved someone who's difficult. Don't say your mom. She's here. Okay, go ahead.
I'm glaring at you, Dan. Anyways, I actually have lots of instances, but it's kind of like one person that I have to say I love, but they are sometimes difficult. Nora, I'm sorry, but... because trust me, I absolutely adore Nora as a friend, but sometimes she can be a little crazy.
Tell me about it. No. Anybody else love someone who's difficult?
My brother.
Your brother?
Okay, yeah.
I want to hear how.
Yeah.
Why is your brother?
He's just like sometimes just takes our anger physically with our other siblings.
Oh, okay.
Just gets what he wants physically.
And how do you love him through that?
I make him food. Yeah.
You're patient with him sometimes. You don't respond in anger, right? Maybe.
Right.
Hopefully. Okay. Cool. We're getting lots of kids. This is
my brother.
Your brother, yeah? Tell us all about your brother.
He's difficult. He's sometimes a jerk, but I love him.
All right. Yes. Anybody else? all the way back there. Katie.
Our dad. And I think it was difficult when, so I can think of like not a super specific instance, but when dad would say something that just was completely insensitive and you could feel like the emotional shrapnel that was happening right then, but not be able to do anything about it. But then like loving my dad over time, he had this heart of just empathy toward people, and he just, you could, I don't know, I feel like when you love people, it transforms your view of their frailties too, and you can see them kind of for who God wants them to be.
Stephen, I believe?
For difficult people, I think I'm the most difficult person I've ever had to deal with. And I love myself by making sure that I get enough sleep, eat when I need to, take breaks when I'm working on something that's frustrating me. And I think the list goes on, but those are the main three. But yeah.
Mel, I see Mel's hand.
I disagree with you, Steve. I think you're awesome. The people I've worked with 47 years, there were always one, two, maybe three in the group. And the Bible says I treat them well. And I did. But it wasn't easy. Not to go all dark, but my mother, when I grew up, I shared with you, most of you know my whole story, I won't go into it for a time, but I grew up in a very abusive, physically abusive, mentally, emotionally abusive home, and my mother was married and divorced 9 different times, and everybody she brought home was supposed to have been my dad, and that didn't work out well, and so, but see, she was married and divorced 9 times, I only had number 5, so I got this beat. But anyway, the whole point I'm getting at is that...
breaking the chain.
Yeah, breaking the cycle. but so I left home at 14, and we had a very tumultuous relationship up until the point where she became terminally ill. And I don't know how she found out where I worked, but she got a hold of my employer to get a hold of me to contact some doctor at Cedar Sinai Medical Center in L.A. And I'm like, who is this guy at the medical center that wants to talk to me? And how does he know where I work? And so long story short, she was diagnosed with terminal cancer, and so she wanted me to quit my job, come back and move in with her, and take care of her for a year before she died. And I was like, first I was kind of like, how dare you? You treated me like crap, you know, my whole life, and abused me and abandoned me and all these other things, but now you want me to do something for you? But you know what? Your mother's still your mother. And we love our, well, at least we should love our parents unconditionally, just like God loves us unconditionally. You know, I've done all sorts of horrible, wretched, debaucherous things, and God never stopped loving me all the way through it. And so, because my mother did these terrible things, I think God worked through me to I wasn't even a Christian then, but I just felt that it was what I was supposed to do. And I quit my job, moved in with her, and took over until she died. But, I think that's the whole point of what God wants us to do is love people unconditionally, whether or not they reciprocate that.
And I got Gary here. All right, yeah. Somebody go ahead. I don't care who it is. Go ahead, Gary.
Okay. Probably you know my oldest son. There's a story about him. And I have seen him for a whole year now, this Easter. And supposedly he is in Ben, living out of his truck with a tent camper on top of it. And he won't talk to anybody. And sometimes when he texts somebody, he texts that I'm dying of cancer. And I'm in a hospital, but nobody comes see me. And finally, his wife got a divorce by default because he would not communicate with anybody. So he left a beautiful wife and two girls, you know. Somebody like that I should probably hate, but I still love him.
No? Right here.
Hi, I'd say my children, and I was a foster child as a young child. I was given up, and I have had biological children and the kids that I adopted through foster care, and you love them all unconditionally for what they bring to the family and what they take from the family, and everybody deserves love and care, whether they have come to you off the street or come to you biologically. Everyone deserves unconditional love and meeting them where they're at.
Especially children.
Go ahead, Kathy.
Okay, I have to confess that the person I'm thinking of, I'm not sure that I ever learned to love her. And it was such a shock to my system because I've always been surrounded by people that I liked just fine and could love. And this person was, you know, kind of forced into my life, not from my choice, but it was always a real shame to me that I could only occasionally muster up feelings of kindness or love toward this person, and mostly, and in fact, I've had to say, I'm not going to have any more contact with this person because it was, I never knew how to cope with it. So, loving people is certainly what God wants us to do. But it's a whole lot harder than it ought to, than I assume it's going to be. And sometimes people really don't want you to love them, but that just, anyway, I don't know what to say except that it's hard. And I don't want anyone here who has a difficult person in their life to feel like they're being horribly condemned by God because they don't have good feelings toward this person.
You bring up a good point, and that's that if you think of love as warm, fuzzy feelings, you're going to struggle to show love to some people. And if you don't look at the way Christ showed love, you're going to have a hard time with it. That whole idea of actually you can, loving sometimes is drawing good boundaries, you know, and protecting yourself. And letting person know that, you know, you have to stop right here. If you go further than that, it's hurtful to you and to other people and to me as well. So, Aaron.
I just want to make sure I'm answering the question.
Just answer your own question.
No, okay. Well, you said tell about someone that you've loved that was hard to love.
Yeah.
And it's funny, there are difficult people in my life, but my brain immediately went to God. And it was, so I've been sitting here just mulling over what that was all about. Because I've had a largely blessed and good life. There hadn't been a lot of really tumultuous, horrible things in my life. There have been moments that have been really challenging. And times when it's been really hard for me to love God. And I'm sitting here and thinking, he has every reason for me to love him.
He's perfect.
It doesn't happen. He's responding to you right now.
Yeah. Yeah, he's cutting off the mic. God. But he's given me every single reason to trust him and love him. Unlike people in my life who give me lots and lots of reasons not to. And I still have difficulty loving perfect. Which tells me I'm the problem. And not other people or God. My heart's not in a place where I'm willing to just love like I was created to. And there are times when I let the circumstances dictate my responses rather than being who I was called to be, which is a man who loves God and loves other people.
Yeah.
just one thought is that love is tough and tender, both. Mm-hmm. Something what you, you think you were pointing to.
Sort of pointing to that, yeah.
It's not just soft and fuzzy. Yeah. It's tough, really tough sometimes. Christ is tough on us sometimes.
Yeah.
And by the way, he also disciplines his children. That's scripture. But it's tough and tender.
Yeah.
Both.
I would like to hear, I'd like to go back and ask some of these kids who responded, how do you love your brother or love that person who's difficult? How do you do that? How do you actively show that? So I'm going to ask, I'm going to come up to you and ask you in private, follow up on that. Okay, go ahead, Debbie.
Mine kind of goes where you were going,
yeah.
my sister.
Yeah, yeah. Not to name names,
right,
but her sister.
So I can't even communicate with her without some animosity. And I do love her. I mean, we were buddies when we were little. But this whole lying thing came to be such a big deal. And all the things in her life tore our whole family apart and caused a whole lot of pain. And so just talking to her is difficult. And so I've made the boundary out of love, really, because I would probably jump on her like, you know, a lion on its prey if I really let out all the stuff I needed to let out on her. But I still hold out hope and I still pray for her that someday God will get her attention and change something about how she understands truth. And that's about all I can do. Once in a while she'll call and say happy birthday, and I'll say happy birthday, and that's like the extent of our conversation. If you think of that, you can pray for my sister and for me. But the way I love her is to stay out of her world and not to make a mess in her world for her, and to keep her out of mind so that I don't attack her.
Anybody else? Katie, back there one more time. And then we'll call. No, just grab the microphone.
It's interesting to me that our whole job here is to do nothing. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Like, God's job is to do everything for us. He gives us everything we need, and our whole job, I was thinking, like, is sometimes just to not do the thing that in your flesh you want to do so much to respond to the hurt. And, you know, I was telling Zach, I'm like, this is the most libertarian verse in the Bible. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, right? So it's like this, just wait and wait for God to direct you to do the right thing. And like most of the time, it just means do nothing.
Thank you. Gary, one more time. All right, I like these double answers. You thought about it, you're going to correct your answer.
Chrissy and I went to see the Bob Marley movie last night. Talk about love. There was a lot. I mean, I didn't know he was such an incredible man. Like, he did a lot of stuff for humanity and tried to get Jamaica into one piece because they were at war so much. And he went on these concerts all through Africa and all over Europe, and they told him not to. And actually, somebody in his band got shot. I'm not going to tell you more because it's a great movie, and I recommend you go see it because it's love.
Cool. Thank you. All right. So I have a little announcement. Next week, I just want to remind you that we're going to have Sunday after church a business, all-church business meeting. If you don't know what an all-church business meeting is, it's not boring because we're City's Edge.
Right.
It's fun, it's funny, and it will be short, mercifully short. Mm-hmm. Business meetings, we're just going to talk about what, you know, maybe finding a new building and what it would take to do that as a church. And we're going to look at our finances, and believe it or not, it's going to be quick and fun and enjoyable. So if you can just stay, I'm going to say a half hour we're going to allow for this. If it goes a little bit over, you're welcome to step away if you have something else to do. But It's please be here right after. We'll give you about 10 minutes after church. So those of you who must go home, you may, and the rest of you, I'd like it if you stay. And so it's, the finance team's going to be presenting something, and I'm going to talk about us praying about that whole idea of having, you know, does God want us to expand and get a bigger building? Our place is getting kind of crowded here, so I've tried to scare people away just by my personality. And it's not harsh enough. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm getting old and mellowing out, I guess.
Get more boring.
Should I offend some people?
What's that?
You want me to offend some people?
You're doing a great job, Russ. You know, and I know you're bringing your best. But honestly,
it's just step it up.
I don't know. I think you're doing great. Anyway, that's the announcement. Thank you. I'm going to close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to look at your word again. Thank you for Brad and the work that he does with the middle schoolers and many other kids and young adults. I pray that you bless the ministry, all of our children's ministries, Lord. Thank you so much for these younger ones and the privilege of just getting to speak to them and be in their lives and for them being in our lives. And we pray that you would show us how to love, to forgive, to draw the appropriate boundaries, sometimes to do nothing, to just not offend others. That's one for me to learn, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
So did you end up talking to that guy?
So what?
Did you end up talking to that pastor?
No, I didn't. Yeah. No, yeah, I didn't really, because he always did. But I will. It's on my schedule.
Okay.
That's kind of fun. I mean, I'm curious.
Yeah, me too. I guess there's almost like 150
Look at the place and want to see what God is doing. That's cool. Thank you for keeping your eyes open. That's cool.
No, talking about it at the walk, and the guys are like, oh, yeah.
And so it's, is it on the I-5 or 2?
It's off I-5.
Oh, okay.
It's just to the west of it.
Okay. So it's sort of Portland, but
it's Portland.
Not quite Harvard.
Portland, Portland.
Okay.
Yeah, it's past the parking lot.
Please tell me
the
Thanks for answering.
Where do you
No, you're taking the picture.
Oh, okay. Not a second
of
Rosie.
Yeah, Rosie's in the picture.
Apparently they always keep at least seven.